I'm Ray Fleming, and I am an Episcopalian. In fact, if I make it, and I'm lucky enough, fortunate enough to make it to the middle of next April, I will have been a baptized Episcopalian for 75 years. Which makes me many things probably, but a relic for sure. If I make it, further than that, if I make it to the middle of June, I will have been an ordained Episcopal clergy person for 49 years. And all 49 years in parish ministry. And I'm still here. Above ground, bloody but unbowed, above ground. 49 years in parish ministry. And further than that, I've been a pledging member in the Episcopal Church, a significant pledger, and most times one who gives 10%, a tither, for 49 years. And the origins of that is, in 1966, the day after I was ordained, I was at an assistant, began my tour as assistant at the University of Illinois in Champaign. And I was under a wise rector who had been a rector for 30 years. And in his office, he sat me down and he said, "Now look, in a couple months, we're going to be starting stewardship campaign. And you will not be preaching during that. It'll be taken up by myself and some others." And I said, "Well, why can't I be preaching?" He says, "Because we haven't received a pledge card from you yet. And until we do, you're not going to go out and preach about something you don't know about. So let's get the money up," he said. And "Don't ask me how much. I pick a percentage. Probably start at 10%. That's good of your income." I said, "Wait a minute. You're paying me in this parish $4,800 a year, 1966, and you want me to pledge?" "That's it. If you want to preach, you practice what you preach." And so I've been, from that moment on, a solid giver in the church, and it's made me think about my own vocation, my own Christian identity in the world more deeply. And as far as I go on and on, try to grow each year and increase my pledge, I go deeper and deeper, sort of like Peter in the water with going deeper, sort of thing. So that's how I came to where I am right about now, and I was asked to come here, but I have some tangential relationships this parish. I've only been here once before in my life, but when I came to be serve as rector of Holy Faith Church in Englewood in 1976, and met with Bishop Rusak, he said right away that he was to appoint me to a very important commission, and it was the commission on stewardship in the diocese. That was the first thing he said to me. And when I went to the meeting, the leader of that commission was Gethin Hughes. You might have heard of Gethin Hughes. And then a couple of years later, while I was still in the same parish, I was asked to join a Westside clergy group, and one of the leaders in that group was George Hall. You might have heard of him too. And our oldest daughter is a graduate of UCSB and is a gaucho. And she was also on the vestry or the bishop's committee of St. Michael's in Isla Vista. And while she was there, she got to know and appreciate the ministry of George Hall, who was helping at that time, Gary Cummins, who was the priest in charge. And then finally this, your parish administrator, Kathleen Winters, not only a wonderful person and a very, very competent parish administrator, was my parish administrator in Laguna Beach for many years. And so I'm happy to be here. And I'm happy to be here because I've been asked to preach about stewardship. And I am a steward and a practitioner of stewardship, so I'm very happy. A lot of priests don't like to talk about this, and they shy away a little bit from this, but not me. It's been so much part of my Christian identity and self-develop and grow my Christian identity that I'm happy to speak about it. Happy to speak. So just to begin and to be very fundamental, because I'm Episcopalians and you know most of what I'm going to say to be true, whether you believe it or not. So a steward is a manager. A manager who's given a part of life to manage well, or another person who is the owner or the boss. In the biblical sense of the word, the Lord is the owner of the vineyard and the steward is the one who takes care for the Lord. So it is, we are called to be stewards of the bounteous, gracious gifts of God that we've been given, and to manage them in a way that is reflective of who we are as Christians. Who we are as Christians. So we have been given bounteous gifts, life itself, family, friends, places to live, structures to own. We've been given love. We've been given bounteous gifts. And one of the most important of those gifts, of course, is wealth and money. Dinero, lucre, whatever you choose to call it. We've been given this as a gracious gift from a gracious God to manage that gracious God. And a lot of people stay away from this and don't like to think or talk about it. We need to talk about it because for me, it's crucial to my Christian identity, to my baptismal vows, to who I am as a walking spiritual person. It's the basis of it. It's the basis of it. It's giving. It's self-gift. It's self-offering. It's self-oblation, you see. And that's spiritual. It's a spiritual matter. This is not about fundraising for me. Never has been, never will be. It's about an internal giving, a self-oblation to God. Walking in Christ is walking in the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of Jesus was self-oblation all the way to the cross, gift, giving, and so forth. To be a Christian and not to give, that's a head scratcher. That's a head scratcher. So here we are. All around us in our society, and I live in a very wealthy area, in Laguna Beach. I retired as rector of St. Mary's Laguna Beach 10 years ago. All around us in the landscape is scattered with churches that are either dying or are dead and don't know it. And I get e-blasts from all different parishes around our area in Orange County, and a lot of them are just groping for funds and talking about bridging financial gaps. And some of them are just like circling the wagons. You get the sense of circling the wagons, waiting to die, sort of thing, trying to take care of each other while the rest goes around. That's what we find. Scratch your head with all the wealth that's there. What's the answer? Why are these people having to bridge debt? Marcia and I go to two churches because I'd supply at several churches in the area, and we pledge at two churches, at least two churches. Because we're part of those communities. We come and go sometimes, but we're part of those communities mostly, so we pledge and give there. One of them, this is one for the books. 2 weeks ago, I received a letter from a parish, and it said, we're in desperate need of our funds. You know, last year we had a gap to bridge, and we were fairly successful in that, but now we need to do this and be strong in our stewardship. And he said, and the letter said, please, the stewardship chairman, I want you to know that the head of the vestry and the vestry have pledged for next year, 2015, no new ministries. No new ministries. So I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. I'll get a cloth, a white cloth, a square one. I'll hook it to a pole, and we'll hoist the flag of surrender of the in the place that these places are. We'll just give up. I mean, until all things are possible with God. You see? It's the crux of identity, of Christian identity. Are you a giver or you're a hoarder? Are you a giver or a spender? What are you? But we have to decide that in that stewardship time. This is the time to think about that. How are we managing and how are we being stewards of the bounteous gifts that God has given us? Now, before I come to a church, any church, I always research the church to get a feel for it, to a feel for the church, and I research it as well as I can. And I went to an incredible website. Most of you have been to the website of your church? Incredible website here. I mean, absolutely marvelous. And I've watched what's been happening in the past, and I got to tell you, I'm very impressed, and I'm not being facetious. This is impressive, what's going on here. We've got this financial resources to restructure this whole beautiful sanctuary and chancel and altar and whatever, and organ as well, to make it more beautiful, to make it more inspirational in terms of being one with the Spirit of Jesus in a place and bringing other people in to be in communion with them, with the living God through Jesus Christ. You got all kinds of finance. this is the good news, man. I mean, we're here. We got this here at All Saints by the Sea. Fantastic. And what you've done in outreach, what you're doing now with Lisa Childs Elementary School, Cleveland Elementary School, hands-on with computers and so forth, this is really important. This is Christianity. This is faith. And it's absolutely marvelous. What you did in the past in Haiti at St. Cyprian's is fantastic. And I'm not being facetious. This is, you have the financial resources and the money to do marvelous things for Jesus right here. You've got it. That's the good news. The bad news is most of that money is still in your pockets. Most of those resources are still in your pockets. And we need to rectify that. Yeah. It's true in every parish. We need to rectify that. It's only going to be done by people, each one of us, standing and stepping up and walking deep in stewardship with Jesus in self-oblation and self-giving. We have to recognize that and admit that. The money is still mostly in our purses and pockets. Once upon a time, a $1 bill walked down the street, noticed his good friend, the $500 bill, coming the other way. So the $1 bill met up with the $5 bill. He said, "Oh, brother, how's it going? Not long time no see. Que pasa? What's happening?" And the $500 bill said, "You wouldn't believe it. I've been to places. I just got back from Machu Picchu. Little rocky, little heavy, but really nice place. It was marvelous. Just got back. And before that, for a couple of months, Caribbean. It was fantastic."